All right. Good morning. Happy to be with you this morning. We're going to be flipping a lot today, so get your fingers ready. Yeah, whether you're using phone or Bible. If you'd open, please, though, to start at 1 Thessalonians. And chapter 2, and we're going to read here from verse 13, and we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but as what it is, what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. Pretty awesome verse. Today, jumping off of our series on Thessalonians, and this being one of the key verses of understanding the Thessalonian church and their response to the word of God preached, and then the fruit that came from that. And it's right here in this verse 13. I'll read it again. And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. And I want to stop and think about some of the implication of this. And we're going to look at a bunch of different verses today about the Word of God. Okay? The God who created this universe, who created you, created me, is committed to fulfilling His Word. Right? What He has said. The thoughts that issued out of His mouth. He's not committed to fulfilling my opinion of what His Word says, or your opinion of what His Word says, right? And so it's important that we, when we receive this Word of God, that we receive it as it is in truth, the Word of God. And then it says this, it says, which is at work in you believers. Some of you might have the King James still in your head that says, effectually works in those that believe. It effectually works in. It has its effect in those who believe. It performs its work. The Word of God performs its work in those who believe it. And that word believing is a trusting. It's a putting my trust in it. In His Word, above other things, above other words, I put my trust in God's Word. You see? Sometimes for me, I don't know about you, for me, I have to stop because I have to stop myself in life and say, okay, wait a moment. God exists. He's the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. He has given us His Word, which is His will. And my role in this is simply to have ears to hear His Word and then to trust and believe Him based on His Word. And I just break it down for myself that simple, because we get mixed up in there's an opinion here, an opinion there, my thought there, your thought there, someone else's thought over here. And sometimes truth becomes really cloudy, but it really is that simple. That God has given His Word. The question is then, how do I receive it? We find throughout the Word of God very clearly expressed that the Word of God is His will. Right? So if you want to understand and know the will of God, you have to understand and know His Word. It is how He has chosen to reveal Himself. And the whole book from the beginning to the end is his words, crescendoing in the, ultimately the giving of his son, Jesus Christ, the Word of God, who has fully made known who God is. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him, right? This is this Word of God. Go to Isaiah, if you would. Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55, and starting in verse 6, look at this. It says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." And praise God, we're no longer wicked and unrighteous, right? I was a man of sin, just like every one of you in this room. I've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm no longer wicked and unrighteous. However, my thoughts can still be formed by the wicked and unrighteous world around me. So can yours, right? So there's great application here. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. What a great encouragement, right? To stop and forsake the ways of the wicked and unrighteous world that do, at times, maybe more often than we like to admit, conform our thoughts, our way of thinking, our opinions, our hopes, our dreams, right? Forsake those and instead go with him, seek him. Can my opinion and reason for thinking something or a certain way be wrong? Both certainly can, right? How about can God's? No. Right? And we know that, right? We do know that. But do I trust that? Is that where I put my life's trust, right? In the Word of God. Right? How about verse 8 here? It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord." We don't always see things the way that God does, do we? I know I don't. You know, we don't always see things. We tend to cling to our own ways because they're our ways, right? You see this in human nature, right? That people are really supportive of their own ideas. You get a group of people together, you're trying to come up and brainstorm to come up with solutions or whatever. And we as humans, we tend to really like to cling to our ideas, sometimes because they're just because they were our ideas, right? Or you'll have this great idea, and some of the best way to get a team on board with you is to try to help make it feel like to them like it was their idea. If you could get someone to think it was their idea, you can actually get them to do it, right? Because there's motivation. There's some sort of internal, I don't know if it's pride or whatever you want to call it, though it's mine. I cling to it, right? Mm-hmm. We're being asked here to let go of my own opinion, my own thoughts, my own ways, and exchange it for the ways of the Creator of the heavens and the earth, the ones whose ways are higher by nature, right? Something I love about this verse too, verse 8, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord." That's baseline true. However, as a man and woman of God, with the Spirit of God and the Word of God at our disposal, we can begin to let the Word of God become our thoughts. You see that? Where I begin to think his way of thinking, where my ways become his ways, not because I've changed God, but because God has changed me. And my heart now falls in alignment with his word, right? What did we learn from First Thessalonians? That this word of God was at work. It was effectually working in those who trusted in it, right? Who received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. Verse 9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out of my mouth. It shall not return to me empty. It shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. Boy, what a truth to know that. God's word will not return to him void. When it exits his mouth, it's like the rain falling on the ground that waters brings forth fruit. The thing for which he has intended his word to accomplish will be accomplished. Isn't that cool? His purpose, his thoughts, and his ways are accomplished by his word. That's just true. Whether I believe it or not, whether I receive that and live my part out in that, the word of God will come to pass. And there will come a day when all this stuff is wrapped up and we're sitting and we think back on our life, back on the history of the world, and we're going to look and we're going to see that God's word was fulfilled from the beginning to the end, fully, right? Boy, that's good to know that, right? Here's the thing, the reason some of this stuff is like elementary in some ways to talk this way, we know this from the scriptures, but we need to be often reminded of it because there is so much information out there that's called wisdom. There's so many thoughts that I have in my own heart. There's so many reasonings and this and that other thing that want to exalt themselves above the word of God and the will of God. But his word is very clear. It's so clear. And we're encouraged to receive it that way. Go to Isaiah chapter 66, 11 chapters over. Verse 1, it says this, thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What is the house that you would build for me? And what is the place of my rest? All these things my hand has made, and so all these things came to be, declares the Lord. What God is, he's building an argument here. He's saying ultimately, he's like, what is it that you as a man, as a people, can even do for me? What, you think you can build me a house? You think you can build me a throne? I'm God Almighty. I created the universe, right? The earth is my footstool. You're going to build me a house? You're going to come up with a way of worshiping me? You're going to come up with a way that pleases me, you think? You see what he's pointing out here, and you see it as you go on. All these things my hand has made, and so all these things come to be, declares the Lord. But look at this. But this is the one to whom I will look. This is the person I'm going to pay attention to. He who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. He who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. Do you tremble at the word of God? That's a good question to ask yourself. Do I tremble at the word of God? You stop and think back. Some of these we'll be familiar with from, you know, being a kid. But think about some of the great heroes of the Word of God, right? Noah comes to mind. Is he a man that trembled at the Word of God? Yes. Certainly did, right? There would have to be a little trembling there to commit 100 years of your life to building a boat in a place where there was no water, right? That's a little trembling, no? How about Abraham? Did Abraham tremble at the Word of God? Most certainly did. He left his home where he was established, and he went into a place that he would never inherit himself because God told him to do it. He trusted that God would raise his son from the dead to the point that he was willing to sacrifice his own son in light of what God would do in sacrificing Jesus Christ. You think he trembled at the Word of God? Most certainly did, right? How about Moses, another guy? Took a little bit of learning and growing, but he trembled at the Word of God. Trembled at the Word of God. I think about Rahab. She's another great, great person in the Bible, right? She's in Jericho. And you know what she says when those spies come into Jericho? She knew that the Lord had given that land to Israel. She trembled at the Word of God. You see that? And by trembling at the Word of God, she saved her whole household and became an heir. It's pretty incredible, right? You stop and you think about these wonderful people through the Word of God that we look to as examples, and every single one of them trembled at the Word of God, right? Well, gosh, here we have a room full of people, and you're here presumably because you want to do the will of God. You want to know him. You want to fit into his puzzle, his work you want to do, right? It starts with a contrite spirit, a humble heart that trembles at his word, trembles at his word. Just practically speaking, what does that look like? Right? What does it look like to tremble? You know, sometimes this book just becomes a good general guideline that I can do it when it's convenient and it fits into the things that I already want to do. But if it conflicts with my desires, then a lot of times it's easy just to set aside. You see? Or do I tremble at the Word of God, recognizing who gave it, right? And then saying, wait, I need to have my ears open to hear it and listen and know. Do I hold, sometimes we easily hold our own opinions over those of the Word of God, right? Sometimes it's just plain laziness. I have an opinion, and I don't want to take the time to go and actually see if that's what God's word says. It just seems right to me. It feels right to me, right? People have told me it. My experience in life has brought me to the conclusion of saying, I think this is true. But I'm not willing actually to take the time to check it against his word. Is this really what the word of God says? You see? Do I tremble at his word? Am I ready and willing to receive reproof? That when I see something in my own heart, my own ways, my own thinking, that doesn't line up with something that perhaps I've been taught, or a verse that I read, or something I heard in a song that was scriptural, do I stop and ask the question, wait a moment, what does the Word of God say? You know, those are some practical ways to stop and just to tremble at his word. There's no better way to say it. The Word of God is saying it for us here. It's his word, it's his will. And he's God and I'm not, right? So how foolish it would be for me to stay in my blindness just because it's comfortable. Versus really getting free and saying, whatever the Word of God says, that's what I want to believe. Whatever the Word of God says, that's what I want to do. I want to submit my life under it and trust him, knowing that he is actually God and that he knows better. Gosh, see, and you don't have to be a powerful man or woman in this world. If your heart is that kind of humble before God, God will exalt in due time. He will work in you and do exactly what you're here to do, because your heart is humble and it trembles at his word, right? Moses wasn't all that bold when he was first called, right? But it does say he was the meekest man on earth. He had that going for him. Pretty cool, huh? We have a choice. We get to do this. I want to keep reading here. And we're going to look at some examples. We already kind of talked about it, but some examples of routes that people take. That is contrary to that humble and contrite spirit, trembling at his word. Read verse 3. Look at this in Isaiah 66. He who slaughters an ox is like one who kills a man. He who sacrifices a lamb like one who breaks a dog's neck. He who presents a grain offering like one who offers pig's blood. He who makes a memorial offering of frankincense like one who blesses an idol. These have chosen their own ways, and their soul delights in their abominations. Will you stop here for a second here? This is kind of cool, because these are all things that the law asks of Israel to do, right? There's sacrifices of oxes. There's sacrifices of lambs. There's grain offerings, right? There's memorial offerings with frankincense. These are all things actually the word of God declares to do. But God is saying here, those of you that do sacrifice to me, slaughter that ox, it's as if you killed a man. Think that pleases God? Those of you who are sacrificing a lamb, it's as if you're breaking a dog's neck. A dog was considered an unclean animal. You that present this grain offering, it's like you're offering pig's blood. Again, unclean animal that would defile that place, right? Do you guys get the picture here? Right? Sometimes what can be done, what humans do, is easily hijack the word of God as a way of checking the box. Boom, see, I'm righteous. I've done the holy thing. But you really, your heart still doesn't tremble at the word of God. You see the difference? Well, you can go and look on paper and say, legally, I've done it all. Boom, 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 boom. Check, 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 check. I'm good with God. I'm going to go about my own life. That's what they were doing. But they didn't tremble at the word of God. Difference, right? You see that heart? 8, these are things that we all are subject to falling into. Head to Second Timothy. I knew I had the reference in there somewhere. Second Timothy. Something that I thought of in this context too, just, do you remember in John 5, the Gospel of John, chapter 5, Jesus is talking to the religious leaders, and he says this. He says, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness of me. Right? Those are pretty confronting words. Look, you think you have eternal life because you search the scriptures, and you're missing the one who came to give you eternal life. You've missed the point, right? Because they didn't really tremble at the word of God. Later, he says this. He says, how can you believe when you receive glory from one another and do not seek the glory that comes from the only God? Isn't that wild? How can you believe when you receive glory from one another and you don't seek the glory that comes from the only God? And I love that. And look, here, this is not, I'm bringing these things up not to be mean, but just to stop us and say, okay, how do we approach that word of God, right? Because sometimes we hold to beliefs because it's what other people want us to believe. Do you ever think of that? Sometimes we just simply toe the line of what we think we're supposed to believe in a group of people because we fear what other people think, maybe a little bit more than what God thinks. Mm-hmm. When it really comes down to it, you understand? Well, the majority of people believe this. I'll just believe that too. I don't want to stick out, right? But man, just to stop, and these are like little things we all deal with, right? But what is this that we're believing? Is it just a Christian club that has a statement of beliefs and we have to follow that? And if we don't, we can't be part of the club? Or is it the living, breathing Word of God that issues out of the mouth of God for the purposes of God that we get to simply fall in line with His help? You see that? The difference there, right? These men in the Old Testament here in Isaiah that we talked about giving these sacrifices but completely missing the point, the men in Jesus' age who knew the Word of God but missed the Christ, right? The problem there so often is the concern about what people think more than about what God thinks, right? And again, what are we being taught right from the beginning of what we started with today in Thessalonians? That we receive the word, not as it is the word of man, but as it is in truth the word of God that works in those who trust in it, believe, right? Pretty awesome. Go to 2 Timothy. We're there, chapter 4. This is to a minister of God's word. It's Paul writing to Timothy. That's important to understand who he's writing to. But he says here, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead. That sounds like a pretty hefty charge there, right? And by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. That means when it's popular, when it's not. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. Okay, that's the role of the pastor teacher, is to preach the word, to do it when it's in season and when it's out of season, to reprove, to rebuke, to exhort, and with complete patience and teaching. That's my job. That's Pete's job. Verse 3. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. I'll tell you what, guys, this one is never more true. Well, maybe it has been, but it's very true today, right? In the world of internet, where you can literally go out and find a teacher teaching from the scriptures anything that you want to hear. It's the truth. There are some that are trustworthy. There are others that certainly are not. But here's the thing. When I go out and I listen, and I'm not telling you don't listen. What I'm telling you is just be aware, right? Do I have itching ears? Am I just looking for someone to affirm what I already think is true? Or am I seeking to know the Word of God? Do you understand the difference? Mm-hmm. And because sometimes we have itching ears. It's fun to hear something new. But newsflash, guys, the gospel and the Word of God is old. It's been around for many years, and it ain't new. It can be fresh in my heart, in my mind, but it's not a new story, right? And so that's what these itching ears, right? People having itching ears. I want to hear something new, something exciting, something fresh, you know? And boy, that feels good. You just scratched my ear with that teaching, you know? It's important to be aware of this, right? And what does it say? What does it say here? They will not endure sound teaching. But having itching ears, they'll accumulate for themselves teachers, and what is it? To suit their own passions. All right, this teacher teaches what makes me feel good, and affirms what I already think, perfect. That's my teacher. Do you see how easy that is to do that? But the truth is, verse 4, they'll turn away from the truth, from listening to the truth, and wander off into myths. Right? So then you believe untruth. A myth is not true. It's a myth. Right? Versus the true word of God. Something too, and this is just like, you know, talking about us here. On a practical level, and it would be the same for any other church, right? Pete and I have committed our lives to pastoring this church, to teaching the Word of God the best that we understand it and know it, right? We pray for you. We go to God and ask, what does this congregation need? We ask for help how to teach it, right? How to understand it and know it for ourselves so that we can. And we're responsible, both of us are, ultimately responsible before Jesus Christ himself for the care of every person that's in this congregation. To do our role. An internet teacher doesn't have that kind of love for you. They don't know you. And they're not praying for you. Do you understand? So there's a little bit of a connection and responsibility that we have towards each other. And I'm not saying this to exalt myself or Pete in this role. This is the reality of it. If there is no trust here, in other words, if you don't trust Pete and I to teach the Word of God, first off, I would ask you to come talk to me. But second off, ultimately, if that trust can't be restored, why are you here? Because if I ain't teaching the Word of God, then there's something seriously wrong. Does that make sense? Right? So there's that kind of relationship and mutual trust that goes in there. And I encourage you with this because in a world where there is so many resources, it can be so easy to get pulled away, right? And so I encourage you with that. Our role, you know, is to feed the flock of God that's among us. That's one of the scriptures, what it says to do. Our role, Pete and I role, is to study to show ourselves approved. That verse that's in Timothy is to Timothy, who's a pastor teacher. That's primarily our role, to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that doesn't need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth as we teach and bring it forth, right? There's a great example. I love this in 2 Corinthians. I'll read you this verse, chapter 4. Paul says this. He says, "But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." Isn't that a beautiful description of like where Paul was at in his heart, right? Where he renounced hidden things in dishonesty, wasn't walking in craftiness or handling the word of God deceitfully with the purpose of deceiving, right? But by revealing the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And we see a similar heart in 1 Thessalonians. We saw that in Paul where he says, look, when I came to you, I was honest. I was open with you. You know, I wasn't trying to get your money. I didn't want your worship. I wasn't looking for praise of man. I just declared to you with a heart that was open and conscious before God the truth. Right? And then what did they do? They responded by hearing it as it was in truth, the word of God. Isn't that cool? And it effectually worked in those who then believed it, right? And I can say, you know, with honesty before my God, that that's my heart for you. That's my heart here sitting in this role. I know it's Pete's heart too, you know. Just to be honest with the word. And one of the things that you're honest with then, you know, when we teach and we teach things, I think sometimes it can be easy because I've sat under teaching before too, and you hear someone teach something, right? and you have your own opinions of what that is, and you have your own opinions of what they think that is, and so you automatically categorize things in different boxes. Oh, well, that's his opinion. That's why he's teaching it so-and-so way, right? This is what I would encourage. If there's ever something taught and it strikes you as odd, maybe it's different than what you've heard before. Maybe it's different than what your opinion is. Don't let it sit there, right? Ask the question. Ask the question, whether out front or later on. Ask the question. Seek the answer, right? Maybe what you heard is something different than what you've always thought, but maybe what you heard is actually the word of God and what you always thought isn't. Well, then that thing needs to be sorted out, right? Maybe what you thought is true really is the word of God and what I'm teaching is wrong. Then that needs to be sorted out here, right? I need to hear that so that my heart can change, so that my eyes can be open, so I can see and know the word of God, which I'm responsible for preaching, right? So there's that beautiful trust, that beautiful dynamic between these roles. Something else in the congregation, I would encourage, be like the Bereans. Okay, I think maybe most of you know what the Bereans are, but I'm going to read to you so you know. In Acts chapter 17, it talks about this group of folks from Berea, and this is what it says of them. It says, they received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Isn't that cool? So the word of God was preached to them, taught to them. They received the word with all eagerness, right? But they also examine the scriptures to see, are the things that I'm being taught in there, are they true? You see that? Isn't that beautiful? That, right? That relationship there. And then the next verse says this, many of them therefore believed. Isn't that cool? That was the result. The result was that many of them believed because they trembled at the word of God. They didn't want to just receive the word of men. They wanted the word of God, and they trembled. And so they went to the word. Is this true? And it was. So they believed it. And then it effectually worked in them also. Pretty cool, huh? Pretty cool. Let's go back to 1 Thessalonians. You know, I say these things in encouragement because we really do want to remember whose word this is. There isn't one of us in this room greater than another. You know, there's different roles to play. You know, Pete and I teach the word each week, but we're not better than you. We don't have a greater role than you. It's just a role, and it's a rightful role. And we each have our roles in the body of Christ, right? So I encourage. Why is that? Why is that even the case? Because the word of God declares it and lays it out for us. That's why. Why do we speak in tongues and interpret? Why do we prophesy? Because the word of God says to do it. You know? Why do we pray together? Because the word of God says to do it. Why do we worship in song together? Because the word of God says to do it. Why do we give? Because the word of God says to do it, right? Why do we have fellowship and eat together? Because the word of God says to do it. Why do we have communion? Because the word of God says to do it. Right? Isn't that simple? It's because we tremble at his word and we say, okay, we'll be obedient to that word best we know how, best we can, in honor and glory to him because it's his word. Right? And if tomorrow I get a more clear picture of what that is, then we change to meet what the word of God says. Right? Instead of holding to tradition necessarily, we're going to hold to what his word says. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we'll close here. And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. Pretty awesome. The word of God is at work in you believers. So, amen.
Amen.
All right. Father, just want to thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your thoughts being higher than ours. Help us, Father, to sit. Help me. Help us sit under the teaching of your word. Let your word and your will be our reason for what we do, for what we think, for what we say, and how we care for one another, and just in everything that we do, Father. Thank you that Jesus Christ reveals you perfectly. Thanks for helping us to follow in his footsteps. And just thank you, Father, for this chance to come and to hear your word, to be in it together. And we praise you, and we thank you. In the name of Jesus, our Lord, amen.
Amen.